Well, it's certainly great to be here today as we talk about our Blessed Mother's peace plan from heaven. We're going to talk about the message of Fatima, preparing our souls for the second coming of Christ. So it is a wonderful topic that we will be discussing today. As you know, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, just consecrated the world Sunday to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And so it is a time of great graces, hopefully for the Church and for the world. And, well, why should we consecrate ourselves to our Blessed Mother? Well, of course, Jesus was the first one who consecrated himself to Mary. He placed himself in her womb for 9 months. So when we entrust ourselves to Our Lady, we're imitating Christ, who was the first one to entrust himself to our Blessed Mother. So the message of Fatima is a great message of call to conversion, a call to prayer and penance for the salvation of souls, the salvation of the world. It's an opportunity for us to deepen our faith with the Lord and to prepare ourselves to get ready for His second coming or for the hour of our death, whichever will come first. Let me start with a little story. Little Johnny's dad was a Protestant minister of a small church in the Midwest. One day, he told Johnny that a very important leader, a bishop, was coming to the church and would be staying with them at their house. Little Johnny became very excited about meeting a bishop. "What do I get to do?" he asked. "Your job," the father answered, "will be to take his morning tea up to the guest room." "Well, what should I say?" little Johnny asked. "Remember to say, 'It's the boy, my lord. It's time to get up.'" Little Johnny was very excited. He kept repeating those lines, "It's the boy, my lord, it's time to get up," over and over again. Finally, the day came. Little Johnny had memorized all his lines. At the appointed hour, the bishop's tea and biscuit were put on a tray and given to Johnny to take up to the guest room. Johnny walked up the steps and he got so excited. He banged on the door and said, "It's the Lord, my boy, and your time is up." So before our time is up, we want to be converted. We want to be the saints that God wants us to be, because one day our time will be up. So everybody is called to become a saint, right? That's the message of Vatican II. It's a message of our Catholic faith. We're all called to holiness, to become the saints that God wants us to be. I have two talks today. One is going to be on developing peace within our life through a number of different ways, but the other talk is on the message of Fatima itself, and I'm still deciding at this moment which one do I give first. I think I will talk about the message of Fatima first, and then after lunch go into how to grow in peace. So, of course, what is the message of Fatima? It's a message of a call to conversion, a call to repentance, a call to praying the rosary. It's really a call to reform our lives. So I want to give you six ideas. I hope all of you remember these six words, these six ideas. And the easy way to remember this is the word reform, because that's what Our Lady is calling us to do, calling us to reform our life. So reform has six letters, R-E-F-O-R-M. Everyone will stand for a different part of the Fatima message. The R stands for the rosary. The E stands for a Eucharistic adoration, etc. So I'll walk you through those as we go along. So what is this call to reform? Well, it's the call that the prophets said in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, all the prophets called the people to reform their lives. And John the Baptist did the same thing. Repent and confess your sins and be baptized. Jesus talked about that as well, to be converted, to reform our life. So that's always been the message of the Bible and the message of the saints, the message of the prophets. John Paul II was a modern day prophet, again calling people to reform their lives. Or Our Lady is like a prophetess. When she came at Fatima, she called people to reform their lives. So in this word reform, the first letter is R. And the first message of Fatima is to pray the rosary. The Blessed Mother said, "Pray the rosary every day for peace in the world." She didn't say the rosary once a year or once a month or once a week. She said, pray the rosary every day for peace in the world. And of course, peace begins within our hearts and our families and then our neighborhoods, our parishes, and the whole world. So pray the rosary every day. And I want to jump back a little bit and talk about the rosary for a few moments because it is such a powerful prayer. I just wanted to read you the promises of our Blessed Mother to St. Dominic and Blessed Alain de la Roche about the blessings that come to us when we pray the rosary. The Blessed Mother says, those who pray the rosary will receive signal graces, which means very special graces. The Blessed Mother says, I promise my special protection and the greatest graces to all who shall recite the rosary. So you get our Blessed Mother's protection and special graces for you and for your family. The rosary shall be your powerful armor against hell. Because as you know, this world is a spiritual warfare. There's many evils out there, and we need armor in this warfare against evil. The rosary will destroy vice, decrease sin, and defeat heresies. Isn't that what we see in our society so much of? So much vice, so much sin, and so many heresies. Praying the rosary will cause virtue and good works to flourish. You'll see this in parishes where they pray the rosary. You see all the good works and all the beautiful works of the Legion of Mary and other wonderful organizations like that. The rosary will obtain for souls the abundant mercy of God. It will withdraw the hearts of men from the love of the world and its vanities and will lift them to desire eternal things. So that souls would sanctify themselves by this means. The soul which recommends itself to me by the recitation of the rosary shall not perish. So it's such a great blessing to us to be faithful in praying the rosary. Whoever recites the rosary devoutly, applying himself to the mysteries, to considering the sacred mysteries, shall never be conquered by misfortune. The Blessed Mother doesn't say you won't have misfortunes or trials or difficulties or problems. She says you won't be conquered by misfortune. And she also reminds us that when we pray the rosary, we have to meditate upon the mysteries. Really think about those 20 mysteries of the rosary. God will not chastise that person in his justice. He shall not perish by an unprovided death. That means without the sacraments, dying without being in the state of grace. If he be just, he shall remain in the grace of God and become worthy of eternal life. Whoever shall have a true devotion for the rosary shall not die without the sacraments of the church. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? Because that's what we all want, is a holy and happy death. Those who are faithful to recite the rosary shall have during their life and at their death the light of God and the plenitude of his graces. At the moment of death, they shall participate in the merits of the saints in paradise. See, every time you say that rosary, 50 times you say, Mary, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. So every time we say the rosary, we're storing up for ourselves graces for the hour of our death. The Blessed Mother told St. Dominic and Blessed Alain de la Roche, I shall deliver from purgatory those who have been devoted to the Holy Rosary. She says, the faithful children of the Rosary shall merit a high degree of glory in heaven. You shall obtain all you ask of me by the recitation of the Rosary. Those who promote the Rosary shall be aided by me in all their necessities. That's why it's important that we spread the devotion to the Rosary to everyone we meet. That's why members of the Legion of Mary, active and auxiliary members who promote the Rosary, says, I believe the Blessed Mother will give great graces to them, because she does say, whoever propagates the rosary shall be aided by me in all their necessities. The last few promises are, I have obtained from my divine Son that all the advocates of the rosary shall have for their intercessors the entire heavenly court during their life and at the hour of our death. See, that's what the saints and angels are. They're our friends in high places, right? That's what we want. Angels and saints interceding for us. And those who recite the rosary are my sons and daughters and brothers and sisters of my Son, Jesus Christ. Devotion to my rosary is a great sign of predestination. That means getting special graces from God to get to heaven and to become a saint. So we see the first message of Fatima is to pray the rosary every day. You know, when Our Lady first appeared to Lucia and then to the cousins Jacinta and Francisco, they would say the rosary in a not very devout way. What they would do to make it quicker is that they, instead of saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and then 10 Hail Marys and the glory be, they would say, Our Father, Hail Mary, 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 glory be. And then they would go to the next decade. Our Father, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. No wonder the Blessed Mother appeared to them. But after the Blessed Mother appeared, they prayed the whole Our Father and the whole Hail Mary and the whole glory be. And they said the rosary very devoutly in praying those words as well as meditating upon the mysteries. So that's what we should remember to do every day, is to pray our rosary, meditate upon the sacred mysteries, because it is, as I read those promises, tremendous graces come from daily prayer, especially the rosary. The second letter in the word reform is E, and that stands for Eucharistic Adoration. Now, a lot of people don't realize that before the Blessed Mother appeared from May 13th to October 13th, 1917, the Angel of Peace, the Angel of Portugal, appeared three times to the children. There were three apparitions of the Guardian Angel of Portugal to the children of Fatima. And this occurred in 1916, the year before. So I encourage you to read about Fatima and read about the teachings about what the angel had to say. The first thing he said to the children was, Fear not, I am the angel of peace, pray with me. And then the angel would teach the children some prayers. He told them to kneel down and say the prayer, My God, I believe, I adore, I trust, and I love thee. I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not trust, and who do not love me. And the angel said, Pray this way. The hearts of Jesus and Mary are very attentive to your voices and your supplications. Now then, in the second apparition of the angel again, he talked about praying for the conversion of poor sinners. But in the third apparition, what he does, he teaches them how to do Eucharistic adoration. It says, While we were there, the angel appeared the third time, holding in his hand a chalice surmounted by a host. So this is amazing. A lot of people don't know about this aspect of the message of Fatima. The angel of peace, the guardian angel of Portugal, came holding a chalice and the Blessed Sacrament, and said, Lucia said, and we saw drops of blood falling from the host into the chalice. The angel left the chalice and the host suspended in the air. And then he prostrated himself on the ground and repeated this prayer three times. So this is a very beautiful prayer of Eucharistic adoration and also Eucharistic reparation. And this is the prayer. Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore Thee profoundly. I offer Thee the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world, in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifference by which He is offended. And through the infinite merits of His most sacred heart, and at the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg the conversion of poor sinners. Again, what a beautiful prayer. Adoring the Blessed Trinity and offering the true presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus present in all the tabernacles of the world, offering it up to the Heavenly Father in reparation for all the outrageous, sacrilegious, and indifference committed against the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And again, begging the conversion of poor sinners. And then it says, the angel rose, took the chalice and the host. He gave Holy Communion to Lucia in the form of the Sacred Host. And then he gave Holy Communion in the chalice to Jacinta and Francisco. And he said to them, take and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Horribly outraged by ungrateful men, repair their crimes and console your God. Once again, he prostrated himself on the ground, repeated the prayer to the Blessed Trinity three times, and then disappeared. And the children said that they felt the presence of Jesus within their soul when they received Holy Communion, that there was a special glow, a special radiance of light when they received the Eucharist. So Eucharistic adoration is so important for us, and Eucharistic reparation, to make holy hours of reparation. It's one of the messages of Fatima. Now, the great proponent of the holy hour was the great Bishop Sheen. Bishop Sheen made a holy hour every day of his priesthood for, I think he was ordained about 53 years or so before he died. And every day he made a Eucharistic holy hour. He once fell asleep during his holy hour. And he said to the Lord afterwards, did that count? Did I make the holy hour? He said, yeah, you made it the same way the apostles made their first holy hour. Sound asleep in the garden. But Eucharistic adoration. So I would recommend that make a holy hour once a week, or maybe some of you can even make a daily Eucharistic holy hour. Now, the third letter in the word reform is F, and that stands for, really, for two things. It stands for faith. It stands for faith because the reason why our Blessed Mother appeared to the children was to strengthen our faith and to teach the faith to them and through them to the whole world, to reaffirm our doctrines that we believe as Catholics. It is amazing how many teachings of the Church are reaffirmed in the message of Fatima. Here are some of the things that the message of Fatima reaffirm about our Catholic faith. The Blessed Trinity, the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. One God, three divine persons. God's love for the world, divine providence, that he directs and governs the world and presides over the greatest moments in history. Because remember, World War I was going on. So God sent the Blessed Mother to teach us how to pray, to bring about the end of the war, and to bring about peace. The omnipotence and all-knowing of God, that he knows all things, and that he is our loving Father. And that we also know from Fatima, the reality of heaven, because heaven is mentioned many times in the apparition, the reality of hell, and the reality of purgatory. Because one of the children that had died, Lucia said, what happened to my friend? And Mary said, well, she's in heaven. The other one, she said, well, she's in purgatory. So again, you refer to the reality of heaven and purgatory. And then on July 13th, Our Lady showed the children a vision of hell. So they saw what hell looks like in the apparition. So all these truths of the faith are reaffirmed at Fatima. The existence of guardian angels, that we all have a guardian angel, and that even nations, countries have guardian angel, because the angel said, I am the angel of Portugal. So he was an angel for that country. Fatima reaffirms the real presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament and the necessity of receiving Holy Communion worthily. So again, the body, blood, soul, divinity of Christ, that it's not a symbol, it is truly the living body, blood, soul, divinity of Christ. The call to holiness, the call to conversion, the reality of sin that offends God and offends our Lord and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The mystical body of Christ, the importance of praying for the church. The Blessed Mother, as truly the Mother of our Lord and God, Jesus Christ, and that she's a powerful intercessor, mediatrix, and dispenser of graces. The necessity of prayer and penance, of praying for others. And then Marian devotion, such as the Holy Rosary, the five first Saturday devotion, and consecrating ourselves to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The importance of graces for the conversion of poor sinners through prayer and penance. Praying for the world, the conversion of Russia, the conversion of the world. The sanctification of the family. And then loyalty to the Holy Father, the Pope, praying for the Holy Father. And the necessity of purity and modesty in the modern world. So Fatima is there to strengthen our faith. It does not teach any new doctrines, of course, because apparitions do not reveal anything new. They just reaffirm our teachings that come to us through sacred scripture and sacred tradition. Now, the other aspect I just wanted to touch on under this letter F is the five first Saturdays, because that's one of the things the Blessed Mother did ask us to do, is to attend Mass every first Saturday of the month, to go to confession within either a week before or a week after. It doesn't have to be on the first Saturday itself, even though many people will go to confession on the first Saturday of the month. So the five first Saturdays is the Saturdays of reparation. So you go to confession, you receive Holy Communion on the first Saturday of the month, you pray five decades of the Rosary, and then the Blessed Mother said, keep me company for 15 minutes while meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary. So that could mean you could either meditate on one mystery for 15 minutes, for example, like the crucifixion or the Annunciation, or you could spend 3 minutes meditating on each of the five mysteries that you choose, or you could spend 1 minute on 15 mysteries. It's up to you. But to keep Our Lady company, if possible, do this in the church before the Blessed Sacrament. The promises, Our Lady said, of those who make the five first Saturdays, so you pick, for example, the five first Saturdays of November, December, January, February, March, or any five Saturdays. And the Blessed Mother says that I promise to assist at the hour of your death with all the graces necessary for your salvation for those who practice this devotion. It says the salvation of souls and peace will be the result of promoting devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Well, why did she say five Saturdays? Well, that is in reparation for five different attacks on the Blessed Mother. Number one, those who attack the reality of Mary's Immaculate Conception. So those who blaspheme Our Lady and say that she was conceived with sin, that is the first Saturday that we offer in reparation of those who deny or who renounce her Immaculate Conception. Secondly, those who deny her perpetual virginity, who say that Mary had other children, who deny Mary being perpetually a virgin before, during, and after the birth of Christ. Number three, those who deny that Mary is truly the Mother of God, the Mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is truly Lord and God. So those who deny that we call Mary the Mother of God, and those who refuse to accept her as the mother of all mankind. So it's attacking Mary's motherhood, first of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and second of the whole world. Number four, we make reparation for those who publicly implant in the hearts of children indifference, contempt, or hatred for the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So again, those who lead children astray through false teachings about the Blessed Mother. And number five, those who insult Mary directly or in her holy images, those who might destroy a statue or a beautiful image or icon of our Blessed Mother, and those who attack her sacred images, we offer reparation for. So those are the five first Saturdays, each Saturday making reparation for those sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Again, those who deny her Immaculate Conception, her perpetual virginity, her motherhood of the Lord and the motherhood of us, those who implant in children indifference, contempt, or hatred of the Immaculate Heart, and those who insult her or her sacred images. So, under this aspect of reforming our lives in the message of Fatima is strengthening our faith, because we need to have our faith strengthened, and then we need to do the five first Saturdays. And before I move on to the next letter, I just wanted to share with you just a little story of faith. A mountain climber was out climbing by himself and he fell off a cliff, a 300-foot cliff. And as he was falling to his death, he reached out and grabbed a branch that was coming out of the rock cliff formation. So holding onto the branch, dangling 300 feet above the ravine, he looks up to heaven and says, "Lord, if you're up there, help me." And he looks up and he hears a voice that says, "Yes, my son, I will help you. But do you believe? Do you have faith?" And the man said, "Yes, I believe." And the voice said, "Do you really have faith?" And the man said, "Yes, I have faith." And the voice said, "Well, then let go." And the fellow thought for a moment and said, "Is there anyone else up there?" So Our Lady appeared to Fatima to strengthen our faith and then to encourage us to make the five first Saturdays. The next letter in reform is O, and the fourth message of Fatima, besides the rosary, praying the rosary every day, Eucharistic adoration, increasing your faith, doing the five first Saturdays, the O stands for to offer sacrifice. To offer sacrifice for the conversion of poor sinners. See, when Our Lady appeared to the children, she said, "You will have much to suffer." Because people didn't believe. You know, a lot of the families didn't believe. Even sometimes the local priest and the bishop were very skeptical of this apparition. And then the police got involved. And as you know, that's why the children were not there on August 13th, because they had been arrested. They had been kidnapped by the inspector, and he had them in prison for 2 days. And it's a very powerful story when you read about the children being thrown into this prison cell with all sorts of murderers and robbers and all sorts of people that were in this stinking cell that they were in for a couple days, that the children began to kneel down and pray the rosary. And pretty soon all the people in the prison began to kneel down and pray the rosary. Very powerful of what happened. But the Blessed Mother said they will have much to suffer. And in fact, you know, Jacinta and Francisco died very young. They were just young children when they died. And the Blessed Mother said that they would go to heaven soon, but Lucia would stay on for some time to promote devotion to the message of Our Lady of Fatima. I'm sure she didn't realize she'd be around for over 90 years, but that's what the Lord kept her, you know, for so long. But the children were called to offer sacrifice for the conversion of poor sinners. And notice in the message of the angel, like after he appeared to them the first time, then he came back, and the children had sort of, after the previous time the angel appeared, had gone back to, you know, singing and dancing and playing games and not praying their rosary. And the angel appeared to them a second time and says, "What are you doing? Pray. Pray a great deal. The hearts of Jesus and Mary have great designs of mercy for you. Offer up prayers and sacrifices to the Most High." So offer up sacrifices to the Most High. And then Lucia said, "How are we to make sacrifices?" And this is a great response, and we should all remember these words. Make everything you do a sacrifice. So every day, offer up all your prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of the day as a loving sacrifice to Almighty God. Offer everything as acts of reparation for the sins by which God is offended, and in supplication for the conversion of sinners. Again, very powerful message of Fatima. Offer sacrifice and make reparation for sins, because God is so offended. Bring peace to your country this way. I am its guardian angel, the angel of Portugal. Above all, accept and bear with submission the sufferings sent you by our Lord. So when the Lord allows sufferings to come into our life, we accept them, we offer them up to the Lord as acts of sacrifice. You can offer it in reparation for your own sins of the past, offer it in reparation for the sins of the world, and you can offer it for the conversion of poor sinners, for the souls in purgatory. So suffering is of great value. Don't waste your suffering. Unite it to the Lord. And as the nuns used to say, offer it up. Remember that? Sister, I have a toothache. Can I go? No, offer it up. You know? So offer it up is good theology. We need to unite our sufferings and offer it up. All your prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of the day, you offer to the Lord. See, isn't that true love? See, true love is sacrificial. What is true love? Being willing to sacrifice yourself for the one that you love. See, that is sacrificial love. See, that's marriage, isn't it? Isn't it in marriage you sacrifice yourself for your spouse, for your children? That's why they say it's not always easy in marriage. They say when you get married, you always get three rings. First comes the engagement ring, then comes the wedding ring, and third comes suffering, right? Okay. Because it's not always easy to truly love sacrificially. But that's what the children are called to. They're called to love sacrificially. And through them, we have this message as well. Make everything you do a sacrifice. Offer everything in reparation to Almighty God. So nothing goes to waste. When you meet people in the nursing homes and the hospitals on your different apostolic works, remind them that they are of value, that they can offer up their prayers and sufferings for the sake of the conversion of poor sinners, for their loved ones, for the souls in purgatory. So they are of value. Their sufferings have redemptive value, and not to waste their sufferings. That's why all hospitals and nursing homes can become powerhouses of prayer for the conversion of the world. So offer sacrifice. The second to last letter in Reform is R. And this fifth message of Fatima, besides the rosary, Eucharistic adoration, developing our faith and doing the five first Saturdays, offering sacrifice, the R stands for making reparation. We touched on that a little bit. Make reparation. Now listen to this message of the angel in his third apparition to the children. Again, this prayer that he taught them before the Blessed Sacrament is a prayer of reparation. Again, it's offering Jesus and all the tabernacles of the world. Here we have our tabernacle. We can offer Jesus in this tabernacle to the Heavenly Father in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifference by which God is offended. So this is how we make reparation, is through Eucharistic adoration, making holy hours, offering Jesus to the Father. And what offends God? Well, blasphemies, people who use God's name in vain. Remember when Our Lady appeared at La Salette to the three children? She was weeping. And they said, "Why are you weeping?" And she said, "Because so many people use God's name in vain. They use it so lightly or carelessly. They use God's name in vain. And people are not keeping holy the Lord's Day, the Sunday." So these are the outrages, blasphemies, people committing the sin of blasphemy. Sacrilegious communion. Again, it's probably rampant throughout the world of people receiving communion when they need to go to confession first. And indifference, people neglecting the Blessed Sacrament and not showing true love and respect and devotion to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. So we make reparation to God also, it says, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And so that's why we make the five first Saturdays in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Then the angel said, "Take and receive and drink the body and blood of Christ, horribly outraged by ungrateful men." And when we think about this, we think, well, what was the state of the world back in 1917? Well, you had the war. World War I was raging terribly, and just hundreds of thousands of soldiers being killed senselessly in the trenches in World War I. But it was not nearly as evil as modern day society, because this is really before television, before the movies, before rock music, before the internet and all the things that you see. And in fact, in this little booklet called Our Lady's Peace Plan from Heaven, there's the priest who put this together just sort of put a little litany of all the things that we need to make reparation for, even just in the United States. And he reminds us here of the over 1.5 million abortions each year in the United States. So that's something we need to offer reparation for and try to pray for the conversion of our country. And then the breakup of families, a divorce and remarriage. And he mentions here all the sin of birth control, artificial contraception rampant throughout our society, homosexual activity, which when he wrote this booklet is becoming more and more prevalent nowadays. Prostitution, juvenile delinquency, all sorts of immorality, child abuse, the allure of money, material possessions, the addiction to drinking, to alcohol, to drugs, the immorality that is rampant. So these are some of the things. If you don't think we need to make reparation, just open up the newspaper every day, and you'll see all the terrible crimes, the terrorist attacks, the shootings of innocent children in classrooms and movie theaters, and you see, you know, how our society has gotten so much worse now than it was back in 1917. Yes, there were issues and problems back then, but you see what happened in the 60s with the drugs and alcohol and the rock music and things like that, and then the whole immorality with the sexual immorality, the way television and movies and the internet have gone. So you see that one of the messages of Fatima is that we have to make reparation. So if we all don't make reparation, nobody's going to be making reparation. You're the ones that are going to be the ones called to make reparation. Because the Christmas and Easter Catholics, they're not making reparation. We need to make reparation for them. They're only coming to Mass at Christmas and Easter. So we have to make reparation. And we have to pray, you know, for our country and for all the things that are mentioned in that, the litany of evil and vice and sin that is out there. So make reparation for, it says, all those ungrateful men who horribly outrage the body and blood of Christ, who sacrilegious communions. The angel said, repair their crimes and console your God. Repair their crimes and console your God. What a beautiful phrase that is, to console your God. To make reparation to Almighty God for all of this widespread sin. The last letter is M, and of course that stands for Marian consecration. One of the messages of Fatima is to consecrate ourselves to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, to make this consecration. So we can do this through our individual acts of consecration as an individual or as a family, to consecrate yourself to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, consecrate your family, and then you can also make the 33-day preparation of St. Louis de Montfort, This is the 33 days where you spend the first week trying to get rid of the spirit of the world. The next week, growing in knowledge of self, then knowledge of Mary, then knowledge of Christ. So this is the 33-day consecration. Out of curiosity, how many of you have made the total consecration with the 33-day preparation? Okay, quite a few of you. If you haven't, there's two different books you could get. You could get the book, of course, written by St. Louis de Montfort called True Devotion to Mary. And then there's the book on the 33-day preparation for total consecration. So you pick a feast day of our Blessed Mother, like March 25th or December 8th or September 8th, one of Our Lady's feast days. And 33 days before, you begin doing the prayers and readings. And those prayers and readings come from the Bible, from the New Testament, from the Sermon on the Mount. They come from the writings of St. Louis de Montfort and the Imitation of Christ. So that's one way to do it. Now, recently, a new book has come out called 33 Days to Morning Glory. How many of you are familiar with that book? Okay, some of you. That's also the 33-day preparation. But Father Gately has picked out readings from St. Maximilian Kolbe, Mother Teresa, and John Paul II that you read every day for the 33 days. So it does bring it up to date with these wonderful spiritual authors. So 33 days of morning glory. But it's the same thing. You prepare, and then on the feast day, you consecrate yourself to the Blessed Mother, who in turn gives you to Jesus. Remember, it's always to Jesus through Mary. That is always the motto. It was the motto of Pope John Paul II. Totus tuus. I am all yours, Jesus, through the Blessed Mother. So you can make the consecration. And then I'd also recommend that you wear her scapular, like wear the brown scapular of our Blessed Mother, which is called Our Lady's Garment. It's a little miniature scapular from the Carmelites. And today is the feast day of a great Carmelite, Teresa of Avila. We'll talk about her at the Mass. But you should wear the scapular. What's interesting is that in the final apparition on October 13th, when 70,000 people saw the miracle of the sun, after that, our Blessed Mother appeared as Our Lady of Sorrows, dressed in black. Then she appeared as Our Lady of Mount Carmel, holding out the scapular. And she said one of the promises is that one day, through the scapular and the rosary, she would convert the world to Christ. And so Our Lady appeared as Our Lady of Mount Carmel in the final apparition. What's also interesting is in the final apparition, Saint Joseph appeared holding the child Jesus and holding the world. And Saint Joseph and the child Jesus blessed the world. And pretty soon after that came the end of World War I. Because once people started to pray the rosary for peace, World War I ended. What I'd also recommend is this book by Dr. Warren Carroll, the founder of Christendom College, where I went from 1982 to 1986, a long time ago when I was in college. It's where I learned how to juggle, by the way, because when I opened up my suitcase when I went to college, my sister had given me three bean bags and the book called Juggling for the Complete Klutz. So I read the book, learned how to juggle, and over lunch I'll be juggling some machetes and some tennis rackets and baseball bats and other things for you for your dinner theater over lunch. But I'd recommend this book by Dr. Carroll, 1917, Red Banners, White Mantle, because at the same time that communism was taking hold of Russia and communism would persecute the church, you know, up until the present day, our Blessed Mother was appearing at Fatima at the same time that the Russian Revolution was going on. And that's why the children at that time didn't understand, you know, why this consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart. The Blessed Mother said, if Russia is not converted, it will spread its errors throughout the world. And the Holy Father will have much to suffer. Entire nations will be annihilated, the Blessed Mother said. But at that time, you know, before they didn't realize that, you know, at that time Russia was a devoutly Christian country. They didn't realize at the same time the Blessed Mother was speaking that it was being taken over by the communists. And so, but anyway, what I wanted to mention is that Pope Benedict XV, who was the Pope at the time, saw that there was no end in store for the war. World War I, it seemed, was just going to be endless, and more hundreds of thousands would be killed in the war. And so, on May 5th, remember this is May 5th, the Blessed Mother would appear 8 days later to the children of Fatima. The Holy Father wrote a letter to the world in which he asked everybody to pray to our Blessed Mother for the end of the war. And I'll just mention, read a few sentences of this letter. To Mary, then, who is the Mother of Mercy and omnipotent by grace, let loving and devout appeal go up from every corner of the earth, from noble temples and tiniest chapels, from royal palaces and mansions of the rich, as from the poorest hut, from every place wherein a faithful soul finds shelter, from blood-drenched plains and seas. Let it bear to her the anguished cry of mothers and wives, the wailing of innocent little ones, the sighs of every generous heart, that her most tender and benign solicitude may be moved and the peace we ask for be obtained for our agitated world. 8 days later, our Blessed Mother came and appeared at Fatima. I think in direct response to the Holy Father, we are writing this letter to all the bishops and all the people of the world to pray, especially to our Blessed Mother, that she would intercede with her Divine Son to bring peace to the world. So this letter that the Pope wrote tells us that God does listen to our prayers and God sent His Blessed Mother. It also reminds us it takes 8 days for airmail to get to heaven, right? So, but the Blessed Mother appeared at Fatima 8 days later, and she came in person. So again, a great book to read if you want to read what happened in Russia at the same time that Our Lady was appearing at Fatima. And so we consecrate ourselves to Our Lady through our individual consecration. We can do the 33-day consecration. And then as a sign of your consecration, you should wear one of her sacramentals, either the miraculous medal or the brown scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. The miraculous medal is such a beautiful sacramental of our Blessed Mother. That's when she appeared at Rue de Bac in Paris in 1830 to St. Catherine Laboure and gave us her miraculous medal. She said, whoever wears it would receive great graces from God, and miracles and conversions and healings would abound for those who wear her miraculous medal. I think one of the handouts I have on the table outside is the story of the woman in Baltimore back on August 31st, 1989, that was waiting for a bus in a bad part of town. This guy came up, shot her in the chest, stole her pocketbook, and left her lying there, you know, what he thought was half dead. Well, eventually she was taken to Johns Hopkins Hospital, and the doctor examined her, and she still had the medal. The bullet had hit the medal of the Blessed Mother, the miraculous medal. The doctor said it probably saved her life. So the moral of the story is, when all of you go to Baltimore, I want you to wear your miraculous medals. Okay? And then I also recommend you wear the scapular of our Blessed Mother, the scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And I brought, thanks to some generous donation of scapulars, I think I have maybe 50 or 100 scapulars, so maybe after the next conference we can enroll all of you in the brown scapular for those who have not yet been enrolled. So we'll bless them and enroll you in the brown scapular. It's a little cloth that hangs over the front and over the back. It's called Our Lady's livery, her mantle, to surround you, her garment of grace, to protect you. And I once had a kid tell me, Father, I broke my sepulcher. Can I get another sepulcher to hang around my neck? Another kid said, "Father, I need some more scaffolding. Do you have any more scaffolding?" So you have to remind them that the word is called a scapular, which comes from the Latin word for the scapula bone that hangs, that is right here, and the scapular hangs over the shoulder. That's why it's called a scapular. The one we wear is a little piece of brown cloth, which reminds us of the Carmelite habit. And it's worn over the front and over the back. So I encourage you to wear the scapular. We'll enroll you after the next conference. So that is the message of Fatima, to pray the rosary every day for peace in the world. We certainly need that now. If you look on the internet, I'm sure you can find that there's dozens or hundreds of wars taking place right now on planet Earth. We need to do Eucharistic adoration to strengthen our faith, to make the five first Saturdays, to offer sacrifice, to make reparation to Almighty God, and then to consecrate ourselves to our Blessed Mother. So that is the message of Fatima. She appeared on May 13th to the children. She appeared on June 13th. And then when she appeared on July 13th, she gave them the vision of hell. She opened up the earth and the children saw the vision of hell. So you should read about that. It's very sobering, very powerful when we see what it says. It says, "The light from Our Lady's hands penetrated the earth. We saw an ocean of fire. Plunged in this fire were demons and souls that looked like transparent embers, some black or bronze in human form, driven about by the flames and that issued from within them, together with clouds of smoke. They were falling on all sides just as sparks cascade from great fires, without weight or equilibrium, amid great cries of pain and despair, which horrified us so that we trembled with fear. The demons could be distinguished by their likeness to terrible, loathsome, and unknown animals, transparent as live coals. Terrified, and as if to plead for help, we raised our eyes to Our Lady, who kindly but sadly said, 'You have seen hell where the souls of poor sinners go. In order to save them, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to My Immaculate Heart. If you do what I tell you, many souls will be saved and there will be peace.'" So again, the message of Fatima reaffirms the reality of heaven, the reality of hell, and also the importance for us to live this message of Fatima. So that was July 13th. August 13th, they were in prison. So Our Lady appeared on August 19th. She appeared on September 13th. 30,000 people showed up that day. But then on October 13th, which was the day that Our Lady promised that the Lord would work a great miracle, 72,000 people showed up. And of course, it had been raining for two or three days. The roads were covered in mud. People were standing in water and mud. And when the Blessed Mother appeared, the children fell to their knees and everybody put their umbrellas down. The rain was pouring all over them. And Our Lady appeared, and then she told the children to look up at the sun. The children looked up and Lucia said, "Look at the sun." At that time, the clouds parted and the sun began to spin. When you read the account, it's amazing what they saw, that the sun began to spin like a wheel, and from it were coming off all sorts of light and different colors coming off of the sun. And then the sun seemed to come off its axis and began to zigzag towards the world. And 70,000 people saw this. It was even reported in the socialist newspapers the next day. The sun began to come towards everyone as if it was going to come crashing into the earth. People thought it was truly the end of the world. They began to cry out for God's mercy. They began to weep for their sins. They were converted because they thought it was the end of the world. The sun came all the way down to just above them as if it was coming crashing into the earth. They expected this huge explosion. And all of a sudden, it was pulled back, almost like a yo-yo that came down and was pulled back up into its normal spot. And everybody was completely dry. The earth that had been soaked was completely dry. And people were filled with this great sense of sorrow for their sins, this inner conversion, and they were also filled with great joy that they were still alive and had a chance to go on and to live their life and live out this message of Fatima. So that's the message of Fatima. So we encourage you to read the books, read about the message, and then by all means, of course, live the message of Fatima. God bless you.